Namanda, but 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 Namanda, Namanda.
I'll begin with the words from a letter that Shinran Shonin, one of the great teachers in our tradition, wrote to one of his good friends in the Nembutsu. Shinran Shonin no otegami no kotoba de hajimarimasu. Please join me in Gassho. Gassho o negai shimasu. Formerly, you were drunk with the wine of ignorance and had a liking only for the three poisons of greed, anger, and folly. But since you have begun to hear the Buddha's vow, you have gradually awakened from the drunkenness of ignorance, gradually rejected the three poisons, and come to prefer at all times the medicine of Amida Buddha.
以前は無明の酒に酔って、むさぼり、怒りと愚かさの三毒ばかりを好んでおられましたが、 阿弥陀仏の本願を聞き始めてから、無明の酔いも次第に覚め、少しずつ三毒も好まないようになり、阿弥陀仏の薬を常に好むようになっておられるのですと。
Good morning. 皆さんおはようございます。 And happy Bodhi Day! This is our seasonal greeting for us as Buddhists, right? We could say happy Bodhi Day. Or in some Japanese Buddhist ministers I know say Merry Shaka. Shaka is, of course, Shakyamuni Buddha. And so Bodhi Day, today is our Bodhi Day service. And so what do we celebrate on Bodhi Day? What do you think? We celebrate Bodhi, right? Bodhi, of course, means awakening, to wake up. And we celebrate the awakening of a very special teacher, right? Very special teacher that we call Shakyamuni Buddha. We call him Siddhartha Gautama. We call him the Bodhisattva before he became a Buddha. And we call him the conqueror, the conqueror. Do you know what a conqueror is? What is a conqueror? What does it mean to conquer something? To take over, that's right, to take over, to, in some cases, to defeat in battle. So if you think of somebody who defeats battle and defeats a king in battle, what do you think that person would look like? If you think about someone who wins a battle, what would they look like? Okay, Shoma's making kind of a mean, scary face for me, right? They're strong, right? What do you think about, if you think of a warrior, what do you think a warrior would look like usually? Warrior. Yeah. Warrior might have some armor, might have some weapons, right? What sort of weapons might a warrior have? Yeah, Bodhi.
Like a sword.
A sword, right? Warriors often have a sword, or maybe like a bow and an arrow or something like that.
Maybe an axe.
An axe, that's right. Some warriors might have an axe, right? So all kinds of weapons, they look strong. Yeah, Shoma? Oh, maybe a gun. That's true. Maybe a gun these days. Yeah, Bodhi?
Like I have a Nerf gun at my house.
You have a Nerf gun at your house, right? Are you a warrior too? Yeah, I hope you're not a warrior with your brother, right? So we have all different kinds of things. Now, yeah, Shoma?
Shield.
A shield, right? A shield to protect, right? To protect the warrior, right? And so if we look, now here I was talking about the Buddha as the conqueror. Do you see a picture? Do you see the Buddha here somewhere that we don't normally see the Buddha? Right there, Shoma's pointing to it. Right here, the Buddha. And what is the Buddha doing?
He's sitting in the Bodhi tree.
That's right. He's very good. That's right. You know that this is called the Bodhi tree. Yes, Shoma?
Meditating.
He's meditating, right. And how does he look? Does he look scary and angry, like that angry face you showed me? No? No? What does he look like? How would you describe? In peace, right. The Buddha looks peaceful. He looks peaceful. So he's closing his eyes. They might be open just a little bit, but it looks like they're closed because he's so much at peace. And it said the Buddha, when he was sitting beneath this Bodhi tree, he was sitting here, and as Shoma said, he was meditating. That's right, Bodhi. He was looking just like that, very peaceful. And the more peaceful that he became, the happier he became. And he became so at peace and so joyful that it said that he started to glow. Have you ever seen someone who was so happy, it's like they were glowing? Because they were so happy. Have you ever felt like you were glowing? You were so happy, maybe at your birthday party or something like that. It was so much fun. Yeah? Maybe, yeah. Sometimes you become so happy, it's like we're glowing with light. You see someone, you see, oh, their face is glowing because they're so happy. They're so much at peace. And so the Buddha, as he became more and more peaceful, that light became brighter and brighter and brighter that people started to notice. And someone in particular started to notice. And this person who noticed was a king. And this king's name was Mara. And Mara was a special king because Mara was the king of the world of confusion. He was the king of the world of confusion. And everybody who was confused, who was angry, who was greedy, all of those people were inside Mara's kingdom. And as a king, do you think kings like having a few people in their kingdom? Or do you think they like having lots of people in their kingdom? What do you think, Shoma?
Gazillions.
Gazillions, right. Everybody, right? The kings, some kings want to have everybody. Yeah, Bodhi. What do you think, Bodhi?
100?
100 or maybe 100,000 or 100 million. They want to have lots and lots of people. Mara especially, because Mara was kind of greedy and he wanted to have everybody in his kingdom. But in order for someone to be in Mara's kingdom, as I said, they have to be greedy, angry, or confused, right? And so when the Buddha was sitting in meditation, do you think he was greedy, angry, or confused? No, because when you're greedy and angry and confused, you don't feel calm and at peace like the Buddha did. And so Mara, he realized that if the Buddha, he's about to become completely free of this being greedy, angry, and confused. He's about to become enlightened. Remember I was talking about that light that was shining from him? That light was about to be so bright that it would never go away. And it was about to become so bright that it would also shine for other people and show them how to be free, how to be less greedy, angry, and confused. And so Mara said, oh no, this bodhisattva, because we called him the bodhisattva before he became enlightened, he said, this bodhisattva is about to take over my kingdom. Because once he becomes enlightened, fewer and fewer people are going to be in my kingdom, and more people are going to enter the world of enlightenment. We call that the Pure Land in our Buddhist tradition. So he said, more and more people are going to escape from my kingdom. He wanted to keep everybody in. So he said, I've got to stop him. I've got to stop this bodhisattva from becoming enlightened. So you know what he did? He went to the bodhisattva. And first he attacked him with words. He started talking to him. He said, hey, I know you. Aren't you that prince from the Shakya family? And he said, I used to live in the palace of the Shakyas. He said, wow, I bet that was great. Don't you miss it? Don't you want to go back? And he started trying to remind him of all the good things. He says, I think you should get out from under this tree. I think you should go back to the palace and enjoy delicious food. People would say nice things to you. You could smell the sweet, expensive perfume that all the people in the palace wear, right? You could enjoy a nice, comfortable bed. You wouldn't just be sitting under this tree. You'd be enjoying a nice, warm bed. And so he started talking to him about all these things you would enjoy and describing and reminding him about his six senses. Do you know what your six senses are? Can you name one of your senses? One, taste, delicious food, right? Can you name another one? Shoma points to his nose and he's making a sniffing sound like your smell. So taste, smell, that's two. Ears, hearing. Eyesight, right? Your feeling of touch, whether you're warm or cold, comfortable, dry, so forth. And then finally, the number six in Buddhism is your mind. Because Mara was just telling him he was telling him about it and he was thinking about it. And have you ever like thought of your favorite food and all of a sudden your mouth starts watering, right? That happens sometimes. Because if we think about something, that activates, that reminds us of what it's like. And so that's one of our senses too. So Mara, he uses these six senses to try to confuse people. And he tries to, first, he tries to make us feel greedy, to want things, to crave things. I want that thing. And if you want it, are you at peace? No, all you can think about is what you want. I want it. I want it now, right? And you get more and more anxious, right? There's another thing that can happen when you don't want something. And so Mara, he said, well, I can't get him with greed, so now I'm going to try to get him with fear, with the things he doesn't want. And so Mara said, Bodhisattva, get out from under this tree. And he took his bow, and he drew an arrow, and he pointed it at the Buddha. And he said, my arrow hurts so much. It's so painful, you better run away. And the Buddha, what did he do? He just sat there, totally at calm, totally at peace. Didn't even respond. And so then Mara got his big, scary armory. He got all kinds of really scary guys. They said some had two heads, some had big teeth, some had, you know, no belly. They just had a chest on legs. Some were really, really scary looking. So they looked scary. They came and they started, you know, jumping around and making scary gestures. And not only did they look scary, they smelled bad. They were stinky. They were really stinky, right? Not only did they smell bad, they were noisy too. They started growling and shouting and screaming in all different pitches. It was so noisy, so noisy. Other people just got a headache listening to it. But the Buddha, he just remained calm. He just sat there peacefully. And so the whole army rushed as if to attack him. And the Buddha, he just sat there. The Bodhisattva, he just sat there, totally calm. And as they rushed to defeat him, they started shooting arrows at him. And as those arrows approached, the Buddha saw that they were not real arrows. They were just an illusion created by Mara. And when, so when they came close to the Buddha, it said that they turned into flowers and fell to the ground. Because the Buddha was so much at peace that all that anger, all of that aggression, all that meanness could not change the Buddha's heart of peace and kindness. And so in that moment, then the Buddha reached down and he touched the ground. And he said, this is my place. This is where I belong. And the ground then began to shake. And Mara realized that he could not defeat the Buddha, whose mind was so much at peace. And so Mara then, he gave up, he called his army to retreat, and they all went away. And that was the moment that the light of the Buddha defeated the darkness of ignorance and completely changed this whole world, because this world that had been only filled with greed, anger, and ignorance, with confusion, and wanting, and not wanting, was now had a presence of peace. And so the Buddha then began to teach, and he spent the rest of the 45 years of his life sharing that light, teaching other people how to be free. And so we celebrate that today with our Bodhi Day service, right? Now I want you to think for a moment about your life. Do you ever have problems with these six senses? Do you ever find that you are not at peace because of what you want or what you don't want? I have that experience. For me, definitely. Right now, I can smell just a slight whiff of lasagna. And I think that my stomach starts to growl a little bit. And I think, oh, I want the lasagna. So I'm not very much at peace. Because I think about what that lasagna is going to taste like. And I'm not eating it right now. And I'm getting more and more hungry, right? Sometimes it's the sound. I want to hear something. I want someone to say, Sensei, you look great today. I want people to compliment me. I want people to say nice things about me. I want to hear that feeling. I want to hear that, and it makes me feel good, right? Other times, like this morning, I want to be inside my nice warm bed. It was hard for me to get out of bed this morning because it's a little bit rainy outside, a little bit wet, it's a little bit cold. It was so comfy. Did anybody else have trouble getting out of your nice warm bed this morning, right? We're going to come and hear the Dharma, but I can't get out of bed. It's too comfy, so I keep hitting the snooze on my alarm clock, right? It's hard to break free from that, right? So how can a person like me break out of it? The Buddha was concerned not just for himself. He wanted to break free from Mara's control for himself, but he wanted to let everybody else be free too. And so he provided his teachings. He provided the light of his teachings. In the sutras, we chanted Juseige this morning. In these teachings, in these words of the Buddha, that light, it shines into our lives all this time later, 2,500 years later, all the way on the other side of the world, from India to California, that light shines into our hearts through these teachings. And there's one special teaching that helps me to feel that light in my life, to helps me to be calm and to not get carried away by the things that I want to see, touch, hear, feel, smell, and also the things I don't want to. There's something that helps me be calm. And that's these words, Namo Amida Butsu, the Nambutsu. We're taught, our teachers, Honen Shonin teaches us that no Maras, none of Mara's powers could confuse the Buddha, could there? He could remain calm the whole time, right? And so when we hear these words, Namo Amida Butsu, the Buddha's light comes into our heart. And so we don't become confused either. We receive this light. Shinran Shonin describes it as the medicine that I talked about at the beginning of my talk. He says that as we hear the Nembutsu, we hear these words, we hear the Buddha's vow, the light of the Buddha, then we stop preferring the poison of our greed, our anger. Sometimes we like it. Sometimes it's, you know, we think, we're right, I'm right. We cling to that feeling. Right? But if we hear the Nembutsu, our hearts can change. We can stop thinking that I'm right, stop thinking that's the best way, and start to see this other option of the Buddha's light in our hearts. And so when we hear this Nembutsu, when we hear these hearts of the Buddha, then our minds change. Our hearts are transformed. And gratitude becomes the medicine that overcomes greed. Because when we're grateful for what we have, then we don't crave after something else. This peaceful joy of the Buddha becomes the medicine that overcomes anger. And awareness, paying attention to what's going on, that's the medicine that overcomes my confusion. Because if I see, oh, I'm getting angry right now, I won't let it carry me away. So Mara, he tried to prevent this medicine, but he couldn't. He couldn't defeat the Buddha. The Buddha defeated Mara through his peace of mind, and he gives us the Nembutsu so that we can feel this peace of mind. So when I think about the Nembutsu, there's one story that I always think about on a rainy day like today that shows us the power of this Nembutsu. And it's a teaching, it's a story about a man named Genza. Genza was a person who lived in Japan a couple hundred years ago. And Genza was a person who always received this light of the Nembutsu all day long. Nammandabutsu, Nammandabutsu, Nammandabutsu. He was hearing the Nembutsu. He was always at peace. He's always at peace. And he loved to go to his local temple, just like you all come here. And so one morning, it was a rainy day like today, but right now it's just raining a little bit. This day it was pouring rain, absolutely drenching rain. Like, what day was it? It rained really hard. Was that Tuesday or Thursday or Wednesday? It was just pouring rain, right? Yeah, Shoma?
Yeah, when all lights went out.
Our lights went off at our house because it was so rainy. How about you, Bodhi?
It was raining hard.
It was raining hard, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was very wet. And the lights even went off in our neighborhood. It was raining so hard. It was a rain like that. And the priest of the temple, he went out the front gate of his temple and just looked out. And you know those Japanese temples have those big roofs that come down. So he went out to that roof and he was out there and he was sort of watching the rain and said, wow, look at this rain. It's so thick, I can't even see 5 feet in front of me. The rain is pouring down. But in the midst of this pouring rain, he could hear something. He could hear something very faint. Namandabutsu, 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 namandabutsu. That sounds like the Nembutsu. And as he waited, namandabutsu, 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 it got louder and louder until just 5 feet in front of him, who was walking there but Genza, loudly, namandabutsu, 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 walking in the pouring rain, saying the Nembutsu joyfully. Happily, Namandabutsu. And Genza, he had forgotten his umbrella. So he was getting wet. He was getting very wet. He was soaked through. And the priest of the temple said, Oi, Genza, yo nureta na. And said, Genza, you really got wet, didn't you? And Genza said, Oh, soyo, arigatai no. He said, and I'm grateful. And he says, you're grateful? How could you be grateful on a wet, cold day like today? Hana no ana ga shita ni muku kara arigatai na. Says, my nostrils point downward, and so I'm grateful. Right? Think about that, right? Even in the midst of this pouring rain, Genza can be grateful. Even this pouring rain, think about how that must have felt for him. It was cold, it was wet, he couldn't see, he couldn't hear properly. All of these difficult feelings, right? But did Genza let this distract him from his peace of mind? No, he remained at peace because he had the Nembutsu, Namandabutsu, Namandabutsu. The light of the Buddha's wisdom was shining into his hearts. So as we live our daily lives, we're constantly being assaulted on our six senses. All these things that are trying to pull us one way. I want this. Push us that way. Ooh, I don't want that. Right? How do we remain peaceful like the Buddha? If we can remain peaceful, then whatever comes our way in life, we have peace of mind. And the Buddha provides our path to the peace of mind. That's why we celebrate the Buddha's awakening this day. And we look to his teachings, to that light that we receive in the Nembutsu. That light that helps us to change our taste so that we no longer prefer the medicine, of the poison of greed, anger, and ignorance, but rather in all cases, we come to prefer the wisdom, the peace, the compassion, the awareness of Amida Buddha, the light, the Buddha of immeasurable light shining into our hearts in the Nembutsu. And in this way, we get great peace of mind. And we can live through these rainy, difficult days of our life with peace of mind on the sunny, beautiful, joyful days with gratitude. So we'll conclude this time. Let's once again hear these words of Shinran Shonin that bring us deep peace of mind. Please join me in Gassho. Gassho o negai shimasu. There was a time for each of you when you knew nothing of Amida's vow and did not say the name of Amida Buddha. But now, guided by the compassionate means of Shakyamuni and Amida, you have begun to hear the vow. Formerly, you were drunk with the wine of ignorance and had a liking only for the three poisons of greed, anger, and folly. But since you have begun to hear the Buddha's vow, you have gradually awakened from the drunkenness of ignorance, gradually rejected the three poisons, and come to prefer at all times the medicine of Amida Buddha. 以前は無明の三毒ばかりを好んでおられましたが、阿弥陀仏の本願を聞き始めてから、無明の酔いも次第に冷め、少しずつ三毒も好まないようになり、阿弥陀仏の薬を 常に好むようになっておられるのですと。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南无阿弥陀仏。南无阿弥陀仏。南无阿弥陀仏。南无阿弥陀仏。南无阿弥陀仏。南无阿弥陀仏。南无阿弥陀仏。南无阿弥陀仏。南无阿弥陀仏。南无阿弥陀仏。南无阿弥陀仏。南无阿弥陀仏。南无阿弥